And welcome back to Ag Day here on Wylo. And also, we are streaming this online live at HoosierLandTV.com. I'm Adam Shanks, the Ag and Natural Resources Educator here for Clinton County. And I'm joined by my co-host, Melissa Miller. She's Ag and Youth Specialist for Casper Media. If you can't catch the show today, make sure you tune in to HoosierLandTV.com on Wednesday, March 24th, and you can see a rebroadcast of this program. Right now, we're going to get back to the show and welcome our next guest, Austin Green. So, Austin, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
Hey, Adam. Thanks. So I am Austin Green. I work at Clinton County Soil and Water Conservation District, and I am what they call the Resource Conservation Specialist. So a little bit about me. I graduated from Ball State, and I've been in this position for about 2 years and 4 months. But basically, in my position, I'm the Watershed Coordinator. I manage grants for 319, LAIR, and for CWI. So those are through different federal and Indiana sources. As far as funding goes with those. And those are all towards conservation practices, such as getting, you know, grassed waterways, cover crops, trying to get money for people to switch over to no-till, things like that. I'm also the group leader for Infield Advantage. I review plats for subdivision plats for the city of Frankfort or county of Clinton County. Goodness. And then also I do Rule 5 reviews, which are basically any construction project that disturbs land over an acre. And then I also do the fun job of reviewing landfill. So I guess the two now. But
so you've got a pretty full plate.
Oh, yeah.
So you rattled off a lot of acronyms there.
Oh, yeah.
So let's dive into those a little more individually and highlight some of those for our listeners.
Yeah. So I believe I might have mentioned the first one would be CCSWCD, so Clinton County Soil and Water Conservation District, uh-huh. Which is located in the USDA, so United States Department of Agriculture. So in the USDA Service Center, there are a few people, a few different agencies, me being one of them. So there's FSA, NRCS, and Clinton County Soil and Water. But basically, so other than that, as far as my grants go, we've got 319, which is those are basically what they call non-point source grants that are towards basically anything that can't be tracked to a certain source, such as like a factory, for example. So like any sort of pollution that mainly comes in the form of, or commonly comes in the form of, like nutrients and sediment.
So that's non-point source pollution.
That's non-point source. That's what 319 is dealing with. Yes, sorry.
That's fine.
So, and what we mainly see in that is agriculture. So, like, you know, a lot of these 319 programs are for, you know, trying to get cover crops, trying to get people to switch over to different conservation practices on their farms, and then reduce that sediment load and that nutrient, you know, those nutrients that are going into the stream. And then with LAIR, that's Lake and River Enhancement. That's a grant that comes from the DNR, Department of Natural Resources. There's so many acronyms
Lots
in government
of
work.
Yes.
And then CWI comes from, I believe, ISDA, which is Indiana State Department of Agriculture, and CWI is the Clean Water Indiana grant. So hopefully I've gone through, and I might have said INFA, which is Infield Advantage,
yeah.
So Indiana, and then, yeah. So yeah, hopefully we've gone through all the acronyms there.
So, all right, well, let's look at some of the ones that are more essentially focused here. You know, we meet regularly and talk about a couple of different projects that you're
sure.
working on. You know, let's just look at so the South Fork grant. So,
mm-hmm.
tell us about that. You know, some things you're looking to do with that. What's up and coming?
Yeah.
It's a lot of exciting things. So dive into some of that.
Yeah, we've kind of had a little bit of a pause with COVID, as everyone pretty much has. But I'm really excited to kind of see some events get brought in with that. So first off, so the South Fork Wildcat Creek watershed basically is located throughout the center of Clinton County. It kind of extends a little into the east side of Tippecanoe County and then extends into the west side of Tipton County. And basically, this grant is to – you're only eligible if you're in the what we call the high – the critical land areas, so like the tier one, tier two. It's kind of when we did our watershed studies and stuff, we basically determined that that's where a lot of the sediment and nutrients are coming from.
Kind of a high-risk area.
Right, right. So if you're in those areas, then you're eligible for certain practices. So, like, we've got a whole list of them. So just the most common ones that I've seen that people are interested in are, like, livestock practices, like heavy use area protection, and things such as, like, putting in watering facilities so they don't have to have stream access. And then fencing to kind of get them out of the stream access. You know, kind of stuff like that to keep your cattle out of the stream.
Just keep the soil in place.
Correct, correct.
I want to back you up just a moment.
Sure.
For
sure.
The layman, namely me, tier one, tier two. Explain that just a little bit for the ones who are listening that may not understand what those are.
Yeah, so basically what we did is back in, for this grant, it would be 2011, I believe. And then for the next one that I'm going to talk about, the Browns Wonder Sugar Creek Watershed, that would be in 2013, I believe. We did what we call watershed management planning. And we go through and there's a bunch of different, you essentially inventory based on stakeholder concerns, which are stakeholders, just people that live in the area, people that, you know, fish in the area, people that, you know, pretty much use the watershed, and they benefit from it. They live in it all the time. So we took all of their concerns. We took a lot of basically water data. So we, and the term is eluding me, but basically we go out and we do a lot of studies, basically figure out, you know, what we call the total suspended maximum daily load is, to basically figure out how much sediment is actually suspended in the water. You figure out, you know, how much E. coli is in the water, how much nutrients are in the water, things such as that. And then we also do a windshield survey, which Adam has kind of done something similar to that with me, where we go out and we figure out, you know, like we pick out the resource concerns, which is, you know, in layman terms for that, is basically we go out and we make sure that there's not, we look at like fields that have big gully erosion, or we look at you know, parts of the stream where there's like stream bank erosion. And we kind of figure out how many cover crops in the area, you know, things such as that. So basically, after they do all those tests, they figure out what areas need these practices the most in order to get rid of, you know, to have the most beneficial impact on the stream, and getting rid of the sediment, the nutrients and bacteria and the E. coli. So what they did is they went through all these studies and then they figured out, based off of the subwatersheds, because it's all divided, it's all segregated into different things. But based off the subwatersheds, they go through and they're like, okay, so this watershed is, like, they prioritize it in three. So this one's tier one, so it's high priority. This one's tier two, it's medium. This one's tier three, it's low. So when you start out your implementation phases, you work in tier one until there's no greater need, and then you go to tier two until there's no greater need, and then you work on all three. So hopefully that kind of explained a little bit as to your question. But going back to this grant, so basically it's open until February 2022. We've already had 2.5 years of implementation on there just in this phase. We've had a phase before this. But this is your last year if you want to apply for it. There's limited funds. But what we offer is we can pay up to 75% of the total cost. So, like, if you wanted to go out and plant cover crops, for example, you could apply, and then we could pay 75% of the total cost for that practice. And then you as the landowner would only have to pay 25%. There's also some urban practices such as, like rain gardens, for example, if you're wanting to go out and do something like that, that we can also, put on your land as well and help pay for some of that cost. But as far as events coming up, we've got the rainscaping program, which should be around June timeframe this year. We're getting some cover crop raised beds that we're hoping to have at the Clinton County Fair. And then we're also kind of in the process of planning for an art contest and also hopefully getting some storm drain murals drawn out there, just to kind of bring in some education on, like, hey, these storm drains that you see throughout the county that are along the sides of the road, like, that water doesn't go to a treatment plant. That water goes straight to the stream, to hopefully, you know, kind of show people and kind of educate people that, you know, that's kind of what's going on. So,
yeah, we talked about the art and around the storm drains and looking at those, you know, maybe around the courthouse and around the new park, and just trying to bring awareness and education to the public about that water and where it goes, so people aren't dumping chemicals or you know, being more aware that that water's going straight into our watershed versus getting treated. So,
I'm
excited about, you know, trying to see how we can get that information out to folks.
Mm-hmm.
So what about the other one that we work a lot with is the Brown's Wonder Sugar Creek Grant. I think that's fairly new. What does that encompass?
Yeah, so that just started this past year. But that encompasses the South. So it's very similar to the South Fork Wildcat Creek Grant. But this watershed is based in the southeastern part of Clinton County and then also the northeastern part and kind of northern center part of Boone County as well. So we're in communication with Kurt Manuel for Purdue Extension down there, as well as the Boone County Soil and Water, and kind of working with them to try to get some practices, you know, cost shared in that area and implemented in that area. So like I said, it runs very, very similar to South Fork as far as the terms of practices. And if any of you guys want to see any of these practices, you can go to our website or you can go to Facebook or, you know, reach out to us through a phone call or email or anything. We'll feel free to send you all the information for that sort of thing. But yeah, it runs very similar. And this one's going to be open until October of 2022. So still like 2 years about, of implementation that we can, cost share in that area as well. And as far as upcoming events for that, here on March 24th, we've got a cover crops workshop in Boone County. In Lebanon, and then we've got a building soil resiliency workshop that's coming up in June, grazing cover crops workshop that'll be sometime in the late August to early September time frame, and then we're hoping to get a conservation bus tour. We got to kind of see how the practices fall out and how everything's going to go as far as the time frames and stuff go. But yeah, we're hoping to. If COVID's still a thing, it won't be like an actual bus tour likely, but we're hoping that we can kind of make something virtual or do your own sort of tour, kind of
like a self-guided.
Yeah,
there's
like
a map of places to go, and
right,
somebody can read what's there or have the information for each stop.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So, Melissa, do you have any questions you want to?
Well, I know some of the stuff that you guys offer out there. You offer soil testing cost share.
Mm-hmm.
Is there still, and I know it's limited funding, is there any, do you know if the funding is still available for guys to sign up on that? And if not, they can check into some of the other programs that you guys offer.
Yeah.
Because you guys, there's a lot out there.
There is. And SWCD is not the only one that offers a lot of these programs. You know, there's a ton of programs with NRCS. There's a ton of programs just all over. So if you guys have any questions as to where you can find those, please reach out to the USDA Service Center. We'll be more than happy to help you out with that. But as far as the soil testing stuff goes, so we have soil testing as far as the availability of that. Through our Clean Water Indiana grant, we do some basic soil health testing for people that don't currently do it or don't do it as often. So if anyone's interested in something like that, we do offer cost share for that. We kind of like to pair that with cover crops or, you know, no-till or gypsum application, something like that in that program. But that program is available, and that'll be available until, I believe, 2022 as well. Seems like everything's ending in 2022. So that program will be available for that. And there's also, we've kind of talked, you know, I kind of alluded to it a couple times, but there's also Infield Advantage, where they're going to have some soil testing in that as well. And that sign-up, actually, it was ending last Friday, but that actually got moved to the end of March.
Why don't you expand a little bit on what the Infield Advantage is, if you would?
Yeah. So Infield Advantage, they used to do a lot of guided stock sampling to kind of figure out how your nitrogen was being up, you know, taken up into your plant and basically how that was efficiently being used, I guess. But they basically moved away from that. And it got revamped and refocused and everything in 2020. And so they ended up getting a grant from NRCS. But their goal for that is to move towards collecting data that is unique to the farmers and that allows them to optimize both their bottom line and, like, just their nutrient uptake and just all kinds of things on their field. And they do that through offering three different trials. So it's cover crops trial, there's a reduced nitrogen rate trial, and then there is a tillage trial where essentially what you do is you take a 40 to 60 acre field, you split it in half, and then on one half you do this conservation practice, either like whichever trial you pick, the whether it be the cover crops or, you know, reducing your nitrogen that you input on the soil, you know, for your crops, or you you know, you till one side, then you either conservation till or don't till the other side. You pick one of those three, and then what they do is they go through and they do soil sampling, they do biomass sampling if you do cover crops, they have soil health assessments, they have agronomic benchmarking software from TruTerra, and then they do in-season drone imagery. I know I just listed off a bunch of stuff there, but they do all of that stuff to try and analyze, you know, what your inputs are out there, how your crop is actually differing based off of that practice. And they try to use all of that to kind of show how these practices are working for your operation and how they're hopefully improving your operation. But yeah, so as far as soil sampling goes on that, they are implementing that soil sampling on those trials as well. It'll be just a basic soil health sample, you know, the NPK, just trying to, you know, figure out, you know, what's going to work best for you guys. So,
say you've got somebody that's wanting to maybe redo a, I want to say a waterway, you know, and maybe they don't have the equipment for it. How can you guys help with that?
So the way we would help with that is it always starts with, you know, contacting the office, telling us that you have this issue. And then, or I guess not issue, but, you know, something going on like that. And then basically what we do is myself, NRCS, and or we have tech team people. So basically engineers who specialize in these conservation practices, especially in things such as like grassed waterways and, you know, getting all these like heavy use air protection. There's a bunch of different individuals that work with different practices mainly. But we would grab one of them, go out, and then we would determine if, you know, first off, the site is eligible for something like that in terms of, like, you know, do we have enough depth? Like, can we, you know, widen out this area? Can we actually put in a grassed waterway? Like, is that the practice that would work best here? But basically, we'd go out there, we'd kind of analyze that. We would get your design for you. So NRCS does all of the designing work for that. So we would design it for you, and then you would apply for our cost share programs, or at least we would want you to. And then we could, like I said, we could pay for up to 75% of the total cost of that. And we've got lists of people that can install these different practices, different contractors and people that can come out and construct it. But yeah, so all it starts with, I guess, is what I was trying to say, is an email or a phone call, and we can get out there and start helping get all these different things implemented. So,
one last thing. We've got a couple minutes left.
Yeah.
One thing that a lot of people don't know that we do is something called a tillage transect. So tell us about the mass amount of data that's been collected with that and what that means.
Yeah, so there is a lot of data with that. I tried to compile a few numbers just to kind of show a little bit of what's going on here. But as far as, so basically this started, I believe, in 1990. So what they did was they start doing these what we call windshield surveys. So it's just that we go out, we drive around, we're looking out the windshield, out the windows, and we're basically collecting data from certain points that are somewhat randomized, spaced out throughout the spaced out throughout the county. And I believe there's 300, or there were over 300. But anyways, it started in 1990, and we go through and we figure out if there's tillage, if there's not tillage, if there's conservation tillage, and then also if there's cover crops. So we kind of collect that data throughout the entire thing.
And we use the same points every year since 1990. It hasn't changed. So we're collecting data for the last, since 1990, on the same 300 points throughout the county.
Right. And basically what we do through that is we analyze the trends, and this is the great thing, is these trends aren't for, you know, analyzing how NRCS did. It's not for analyzing how SWC did it. It's analyzing how the entire state's conservation efforts are, you know, improving, or, you know, like how that trend is going throughout the state. You know, on our level, it's county level, but then they analyze it at the state levels too, which is really neat. And unfortunately, 2020, there's a lot of counties that weren't able to do the tillage transect, so the data is kind of missing a little bit there. But as far as, like, the 2019 data, for example, they estimated that about 950,000 acres of cover crops were planted in 2019. And then as a result of that, and this is a really neat thing, is what I said earlier about how there's a lot of sediment, there's a lot of nutrients and that sort of thing going into the streams. After doing these sort of surveys, they can kind of estimate how much that's affecting the stream. And as a result of the cover crops planted just in 2019, it's estimated that 1.2 million tons of sediment were prevented from entering the waterways, along with 3 million pounds of nitrogen and 1.5 million pounds of phosphorus. And that sort of thing is really neat. And they compared it to that's enough sediment to fill more than 350 Olympic-sized swimming pools, which is really just an amazing amount of soil that's been able to stay on the fields. And that doesn't just help the stream. That helps the farmer as well, because all that soil that you lose, I mean, that's costly to the farmer as well. So
that's your biggest investment.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Man, I hate to cut this short. We're out of time. And it's, as always, it's great to have you here, Austin. That's the reason why we keep a revolving door with you, because there's always so much information and we never have enough time. I'm looking at this needs to be an episode for all things ag.
All the grants?
Yeah, everything. Everything that Austin does. It's crazy the amount of material that we don't get a chance to cover on Ag Day. So, yeah, we'll twist your arm after this is over with and get that lined up. But thank you again for being here. We appreciate it. And as always, you are a breath of fresh air coming in here.
Yeah, thank you.
How can we get a hold of you?
Yep, we need all your info.
Yeah, so you can get a hold of us at, so our phone number is 765-659-1223, extension 3. Or you can email me at Austin, so Austin, dot green, just like the color, G-R-E-E-N, at in.nacdnet. So there's two nets there. It always throws people off.
Catch more fish with two nets, right?
I guess.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Austin. This has been a great review of everything that's going on over there. We're going to take a quick break now, and we'll be back with our next guest. You're listening to Ag Day on WILO and watching it live on HoosierLandTV.com.